From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I'm recording this on January 6th, 2020, and I wish all of my listeners a Happy New Year. Today I've chosen three articles that were published in the past week or so that I think represent important aspects of cardiovascular practice. One is a paper looking at the current value of fractional flow reserve in clinical practice, some comparison of the wire-based method versus image-based computation. A very important update on the NOBLE trial. This is the randomized trial of PCI for left main disease versus CABG, published in Lancet. And then the last article I want to talk about is a paper published in the Annals of Internal Medicine looking at the potential value of preoperative biomarkers to help predict risk after non-cardiac surgery. So let's get started. The first paper is entitled Fractional Flow Reserve in Clinical Practice, from Wire-Based Invasive Measurement to Image-Based Computation. This is an excellent review. I recommend it to you. It was published in the European Heart Journal. As you know, invasive coronary wire-based FFR is routinely used for physiology-based coronary revascularization, and that's been a major advance in care, largely based on the FAME trial. Subsequently, quantitative flow ratio, I'm going to call it QFR, has emerged as an alternative to conventional FFR. You may recall that QFR uses 3D geometric reconstruction of conventional angiographic and intravascular images. The technology computes a surrogate for FFR. Angiographic and intravascular image quality is therefore, of course, critical to getting an accurate QFR measurement. A major challenge then with this is developing accurate boundary conditions reflecting the coronary blood flow dynamics. So diagnostic concordance between QFR and FFR is reduced in patients who have conditions such as microcirculatory dysfunction. This might be in a vessel supplying territories with a prior MI, for example. There's limited randomized data available currently correlating clinical outcome and QFR. A functional syntax score calculated by QFR was evaluated in retrospective analysis of the Syntax II study patients, and it indicated a superior prediction of patient-oriented composite endpoints in patients with multivessel disease when compared to the classic syntax score alone. The area under the curve was 0.68 versus 0.56. Currently, QFR is not validated for routine use, but if validated in ongoing clinical trials like FAVOR 3, it might allow for hemodynamic assessment with the use of diagnostic angiography only. If you think about it, common scenarios where QFR might have increased utility would be in non-culprit vessel assessment in the setting of MI, where conventional FFR is considered unreliable. QFR would also enable hemodynamic assessment of the entire coronary tree easier without having to wire all three coronary territories in patients who have what appears to be three vessel disease. So it's a nice review, and I think it's relevant, particularly to our colleagues practicing in the cath lab as we consider the technology around quantitative flow reserve using non-invasive methods. That plays right into the next paper, which is the five-year outcomes of the randomized NOBLE trial. You may remember that the NOBLE trial was a prospective evaluation performed in 36 hospitals in 9 northern European countries, and it asked the question whether left main coronary disease requiring revascularization would be better served with PCI versus CABG. The primary endpoint was major adverse cardiac or cerebrovascular accident, a composite of all-cause mortality, non-procedural MI, repeat revascularization, and stroke. And the intent of the trial was a non-inferiority design where the authors were trying to prove that PCI was non-inferior to traditional treatment with CABG. Other endpoints included all-cause mortality, non-procedure-related MI, and repeat revascularization. So it was a large trial. Patients were enrolled from 2008 to 2015, overall 1,200 patients in the trial, about 600 each to PCI versus CABG. In the end, the five-year analysis included outcomes on 592 patients in each group. And at a median of 4.9 years, the composite endpoint was 28% for PCI versus 19% for CABG, and that difference was highly significant. CABG was found to be superior compared to PCI for the primary composite endpoint at a p-value less than 0.001. All-cause mortality was the same, 9% PCI, 9% after CABG. CABG appeared to reduce non-procedure-related MI. It was 8% in the PCI group versus 3% after CABG. And revascularization was also improved with CABG. It was 17% with PCI versus 10% with CABG. Remember, in this trial, they enrolled patients with significant left main disease. They had to have a stenosis more than 50% or an FFR less than 0.8. The lesion could be in the coronary ostia, the midshaft, or the bifurcation, and they had no more than three additional non-complex lesions. So certainly, if you want to look at this trial and look at the composite endpoint, at 5 years, CABG appears to be superior to PCI. Contrary-wise, if you simply ask the question, what about cardiovascular mortality? They appeared to be similar and relatively low, 9% at 5 years. This is an important trial, obviously really one of the important trials that established the potential for PCI to be useful in certain patients with left main disease. And the five-year outcomes, I think, speak for themselves. Let me then finish with a very interesting paper published this week in Annals of Internal Medicine. It looked at preoperative N-terminal pro-BNP natriuretic peptide in cardiovascular events after non-cardiac surgery. This was a subpopulation analysis from the VISION trial that enrolled almost 19,000 patients from 16 centers in 9 countries who were undergoing major non-cardiac surgery. And the investigators analyzed the question, what was the value of preoperative NT-proBNP levels in determining cardiovascular risk? And you may remember in the VISION trial, all of the subjects had troponin T or high-sensitivity cardiac troponins measured at 6/12, and then hours, and then days 1 through 3. And the primary outcome was a composite of myocardial injury and vascular mortality. And the myocardial injury group included both clinical MI and also individuals who simply had myocardial injury based on troponin elevation. Then the authors looked at the optimum NT-proBNP thresholds for determining performance and improving a model of predictive risk, essentially adding that threshold to standard revised cardiac risk indice prediction. In the proportional model, an NT-proBNP of less than 100 picograms per mL is a reference group. That group had a 5.2 incidence of the primary composite perioperative endpoint. In the groups then with thresholds of 100 to 199, 200 to 1499, and then greater than 1500 picograms per mL, the hazard ratios were 12.3, 20.1, and 37.5%. These would be a hazard ratios then of 2.27, 3.63, and 5.82. And the authors concluded that if you added the NT-proBNP thresholds to the revised cardiac risk index, that the predictive ability to assess risk was improved. We've been searching for the use of biomarkers in perioperative care, and this is a very well-done study in a very large number of subjects, so it goes without saying that it adds to our knowledge base for sure. The real question that continues to be, I think, somewhat vexing is, if we find elevations of high-sensitivity troponin and or natriuretic peptide levels, for example, what is the therapeutic imperative for us? And how do we weave that into clinical decision-making? And certainly, until we have more data about therapy, it remains to be seen just what the value of this is in clinical practice. But I think the literature clearly is growing in this space, and we certainly need trials that incorporate biomarkers in perioperative medicine to better understand how we want to weave these into our daily practice. So I've reviewed today three articles that I thought were relevant to your practice. One looks at the use of quantitative fractional flow reserve versus traditional FFR. The five-year endpoint analysis of NOBLE, that's the study of CABG versus PCI for left main. And lastly, this really interesting article looking at preoperative N-terminal proBNP as a predictive tool in non-cardiac surgery. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. I want to wish you a very happy new year. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. These articles you can find online. Also, the journal scans and clinical trial summaries are there. And I hope that all of you have a great week, and I'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you very much.